Good morning to all of you. That last song, did you notice the words? I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I, second verse, I know that his promise never faileth. And I know my mansion he prepareth. A promise that he has promised us. And those promises never fail. What a blessing. Well, it's good to be here. Never been in this area before. Never to this church. And I don't know any of you. But that's okay. We know we serve the same God, and that's the important thing. We took the scenic route to come here last night, and we couldn't see the scenery. It was dark, but we did take the scenic route. But I'm thankful that we can go out another way. But anyway, we made it. My wife and I were talking about it last night after we got to our hosts. And we were just over the tracks, I don't know, maybe a minute or so, maybe not even that much, and a train comes from the west. And my concern was that we don't hang up on the tracks. And thank God that we didn't. He was watching out for us. But certainly a blessing to be here. Turn with me to Romans chapter 15, if you have your Bibles. I have come to appreciate in a new way the book of Romans in the last probably 6-8 months. I've studied and read it at home and took more time to study it. And I want to share with you something that challenged me and blessed me. And it's on the, I've entitled the message, The Comfort of the Scriptures. But the focus will mainly be on the hope that we can have in the Scriptures. God's written word, God's word that was inspired from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation. The Bible says that it was all inspired by him. And so it was printed for a specific reason. And we find it here in verse 4. I want to read the first 4 verses and mainly zero in on verse 4. But as I look at the, before we do that, as I look at the book of Romans, what thrilled me was the fact that we are living in the New Testament, which all of us know that. But with that, we now have access to God, personal access to God through his Son. And so in the Old Testament, we find that they were under the law, and we have a faith in our Savior, Christ. And we just came through the Easter season, the time of the year where we commemorate think about the sufferings, the crucifixion, and the resurrection. And as I think of that, and going into the New Testament, we have a much, in my opinion, a much better relationship than the Old Testament under the law. Secondly, salvation is open for all, not to the Jews only, but to the Gentiles. And that is where we find ourselves. Let's read the first 4 verses in Romans chapter 15. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Now verse 4, and for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. The focus this morning will be on the hope that we have in God. As I thought of this and spent some time meditating, the first 2 verses is a beautiful picture of a church setting. We have the strong, we have the weak. And let me say it this way. We were all weak at one point. We were all newborn. And I would take it to be saying that generally the newborn are the weak ones. And we have in a church setting, all church settings, we have those that have weathered the storms, those that have been walking the Christian walk for many years and are strong spiritually. And to me, that is beautiful. When I see that in a church setting and we look out for each other, it says here, the strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves, but we are in a brotherhood looking out for our brother, our sister. And so certainly it is a beautiful picture. And then verse 3, we have the example of Christ, how he did. When he was here, he did not please himself. He came to do the Father's will. He came to serve. He was a servant. But verse 4, especially the last phrase or last part of the verse, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Have you ever considered the fact that the way God created us, of the natural example, just in the physical. When you attempt to do something, you have hope to accomplish. And I understand we make plans, but we know that God has sometimes other plans for us, and we understand that. And I'm not talking about that necessarily, but we do make plans. In fact, on the bus in the last several days, I've heard some conversations that are you excited to come back to your job? Are you excited to go home and get into the routine again? And various answers. But we make plans. We have plans on Monday, Lord willing, to head back to Bible school. We plan, we hope to get there. We leave with that hope in mind. I know that it seems like this spring, it doesn't warm up, okay? And I know that there is some forecast for snow. Now, should we get into a blizzard where we are stuck for 3-4 days on the bus, we may lose hope. I doubt it. But what I'm saying is when hope is lost, the heart drive is smashed. And so in the spiritual sense here, we have hope in the Scriptures. The written Word of God, we just sang a song about the promises of God. We have hope. Now this hope, in the original meaning, has the idea of anticipation, usually with pleasure, confidence. It's hope, anticipation with confidence. I don't know if I can explain it, but not a haphazard hope that we're talking about. We have hope in God. We have hope in Christ. We know that what he has promised will come to pass. But that hope is keeping us driving on. And so what I want to look at mainly is the last part of the verse, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope, talking about the eternal hope that someday we will be with Christ in eternity, forever. And so as we contemplate that, it keeps us driving on. It keeps us and our focus on the eternal things. Things that God would have us do. Now, it doesn't say, it says here, were written for our learning, and I would assume that that would mean by us reading God's Word, but also by us hearing God's Word explained, preaching, teaching. The chorus spent 6 weeks in Bible school, and that's what they did. They looked into God's Word. They studied God's Word very intensely. And so that is what we want to focus on this morning. When hope is gone, the heart drive is lost. Turn with me to Acts 27. And this is very familiar with you, I'm sure. But just to try to, and I've never been in a situation where, and maybe some of you have, where hope was gone, that you would, I'm talking now the natural, the physical life. You might have been in a situation where hope was dwindling, where hope was gone, that you felt like you were going to die. And I understand, I'm just trying to get us to get a parallel between that and the spiritual. And so in Acts 27, and this is Paul in the out at sea, and he had warned them not to go, but they were now out at sea, and verse 15, and I need to just cut in at verse 15, they came, there was a storm, and it was a very rough seas, and the ship, the boat that they were in was about to be broken up. But it was, in verse 15, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive, and running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest there should fall, lest they should fall into quicksands and strike sail, and so were driven. And being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lighted the ship, and the third day were cast out, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away from us. Now this is in the natural sense. No hope. They were out at sea, and many days, it says the third day, in verse 19, they cast out the tackling with their ship. They emptied the ship, trying to get it to be lighter so that they wouldn't take on water. But it says then in verse 20, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small tempest lay, and all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Many days, I don't know how long this was, maybe a week, I don't know. But all hope was gone, all hope. They were there in the midst of the sea and had no hope, no hope. Try to visualize being out in at sea, rough seas, many days, and no hope. If the account would stop there, no doubt they were thinking of their families. They were thinking of their loved ones. They were thinking of what they were planning to do. All hope was gone. No hope. No hope. But that's the physical. But it doesn't stop there. Verse 21, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Be of good cheer. We see it twice in those few verses. Can you imagine the sigh of relief? And again, I say this is only the physical, but I want to draw a parallel between that and the spiritual. The physical is, and I don't know that we can fairly compare it. We can't, because the eternal, the spiritual is eternal. But here, in the physical, they had no hope. No hope. They were despairing. I'm sure they were. Or at least I would have. We like to live. We enjoy life. The natural, the physical body fights to live. I've seen that in my mom. Getting up in years, not too many have drives like she does. And I see that in her. She wants to live. But here, out at sea, many days, week, 2 weeks maybe even, and no hope. Hope was gone. The drive would have been gone too, at least for me. But Paul comes through and he says, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. We will make this. There'll be no loss of life. No one will die from this. We will have loss, but not life. Be of good cheer. When comfort is taken away, drive is gone. Now, let me go to Ephesians chapter 2. Now switching to the spiritual. Ephesians chapter 2. You and I were in the same boat, as it were, spiritually. Ephesians chapter 2. I Let me read to you verse 2 and 3 and then skip down to verse 11 and 12. Verse 2, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse 11, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentile in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world, having no hope. Now this is talking about the spiritual. Having no hope spiritually, friends, that is a sad, sad state to be in. We know that we have a soul, a never-dying soul. And when we leave this world, this earth, when we die, we pass on. Our soul lives eternally. Friends, as I thought of that, that's where we were. All of us. All of us. Brother Delmer, I think, shared with a man, was it at the last motel, either in the morning or in the evening, one came to him and said, noticed our group, and he said, wondered who we are, and I don't know the whole conversation, but Delmer just shared it there with some of us, that he said, would you accept outsiders? And Delmer said, we were all outsiders. Isn't that the truth? We were. I think that is very true. We found ourselves without hope. No hope. We were in this world without hope. Hope lost. The heart drive ceases. So God, in his wisdom, gave us scripture so that we can have hope. So that we can have hope. That's why the scriptures were written, and so that we can learn from them, and through the scriptures that we might have the comfort and that we may have hope. The comfort of the scriptures. Do you find them comforting? That's my question this morning. That's the point that we want to bring before us this morning. The spiritual comfort that we find in the scriptures. Now we'll go back to Ephesians again. Maybe you're still there. The story doesn't stop at verse 12. Let me read verse 4 and verse 13. Verse 4 says, But God, we were without hope. We had no hope. We were lost. We were doomed. There was no hope. Hopeless. Nothing we could do. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Now verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off, we who were afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. That is hope. That is hope. Friends, when I read scripture and I find verses such as that, I know them. That brings hope. That brings a drive to go on faithful with God, faithful with Christ. I am blessed by that. And I am sure you are too. My prayer this morning is just to encourage all of us. We are not home yet. We are not home yet. We are not there yet. But we are striving for that heavenly home. And friends, we have hope. We have hope. God is faithful. We just sang about that. God is so faithful. And he will come through with the promises that he has. And there are many. If I would try to, there's no way we could look at God's promises, all of them this morning, not even close. But there are so many promises in God's word. And the thing that burdens me is, I think, I see that in our settings, and I'm going to include myself, first of all, that we have been saturated with God's word. We have had God's word all of our life. I was raised in a Christian home. I remember Sunday school. I remember children's class. I remember Bible school, Christian day school, saturated with God's word. I see it when I look at people that are from the non-Mennonite background. When they get a hold of truth, they are excited. We should be too. It does the same thing for us as it does for them. Comfort of the Scriptures. Where do you turn for comfort? We were at a where we did our laundry the other day. We saw faces that had no hope. That is sad. Friends, that is very sad. They need Christ. They need Christ. That's where we find hope. And we have it. And praise God. But the point this morning is, where do we turn for hope? Where do you go for hope? It says here in our text, those things that were written for a specific reason, and that is so that we might have comfort in hope. The final goal is out a ways. We don't know how far. It may be, for some of us, hours, minutes. We don't know. It may be years. But it's somewhere beyond what we can see right now. But that hope keeps us driving on. Keeps us driving on. You may be facing a difficult time in your life. I don't know. But friends, when we look at God's Word, when we look at Scriptures, it is truth. And I want to, and you know that. I know you know that. But we need to be reminded that God's Word is true. Every word is truth. And that is why we have Scripture. It was written so that we may have comfort in hope. Why does Scripture bring us comfort? You can read the newspaper, it doesn't bring a lot of comfort. Pretty much sad stuff, pretty much evil stuff. That's what sells, and that's what's printed. A lot of disheartening things. This world we live in is not getting any better. You know that. But friends, we are living above that. We live in Christ. But why does Scripture bring us comfort? Why does it bring us hope? We can read any, we can read Reader's Digest, we can read anything that you want. But when we turn to Scripture, we find hope. Why is it? Why is it? Well, number one, it was inspired by God. God knows everything. And the other point, another point is this, it confronts us with our problem. Now, stopping there, if we are confronted with a problem, hope is lost. If we would stop there. But Scripture doesn't stop there. It gives us the answer. And that is hope restored. And so that is what is so beautiful. If you read Romans, it tells us that all have sinned. If you would stop there, it would be pretty discouraging. Okay? We've all sinned. We've all been there. We have been born in sin. We have lived in sin. We have done sinful things. And so that's where we all were. If we would stop there, it would be hopeless. Hope would be gone. But praise God, it doesn't stop there. Scripture tells us that if we believe in faith, if we confess our sins, hope is restored for every one of us. And that's my point this morning. Are you finding comfort in the Scriptures? Let me say it this way. If we are not, if I am not finding comfort in the Scriptures, God's Word has not lost its power. God's Word has not lost its power. God's Word has not lost its meaning. I have lost my appetite. And that's a challenge for myself as I think of that. As I dig into God's Word, as I read God's Word, and for all of us, young and old, let's continue to search God's Word. Let's find hope. That's where we want to turn to. when we need hope. God has it for us. And it's beautiful. It is sure, and it is eternal. Where are you turning for hope? The things of this world won't give us hope. But God's word will. That's the beauty of it. God's word is sure. Let me just read, and I know that you didn't come to hear me preach. Let me just share this real quickly. But anyway, just again. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. We can have hope. Sure, we can have hope. Patience, it talks about patience. And if you are like I am, we want it right now. But God asks us to be patient. Where do you find comfort this morning? When you face the difficulties of life, when you face that valley, where do you turn? And I know that going through grieving sometimes, we need our friends. We need those that stand by us. I understand that. But ultimately and finally, God's word gives us hope. I find hope there, and I trust you do too. Let's continue to live for God. Let's continue to find our hope and our comfort in the Scriptures. That's why they were written. That's the specific reason why they were written, is so that we can, in 2018, find comfort in the Scriptures. Shall we stand for prayer?